Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
John.
Yeah.
When I remember, you think about this. Family is an oddity. I mean, everybody says family. You know, you're my best friend.
Right.
I liked you on my Facebook. But family, I mean, what is family? Mm-hmm. What is this thing called family? And it's just being just ripped apart. At least our perception of family.
Sure.
Maybe God is telling us that, I don't know. I just remember when Jesus' mother and brother thought he lost his mind.
Mm.
And he was coming, they were coming to rescue him because her son, his brother, had not eaten in quite some time. And he was in a house ministering. I don't know what's up with
in
that.
In a house?
Maybe he had high ceilings or something in
know.
A PA system.
Maybe
but he was in a house. He was in a house.
For sure.
He was in a house. But he's Jesus, you know. So they're knocking on the outside of the door. They're knocking on the door. And somebody answers the door. And, of course, Americans are thinking, it must have taken them a long time to walk, but the house is one as big. This is not Discovery Channel, and you're not watching those 10 million little houses.
It's not an HD house.
Yes. And so they go to the door, and they say hello or whatever, and they go, hey, you know, we came to get Jesus. And so they close the door, I guess, and go through the people that are there, and Jesus is ministering. And they said, Jesus, you know, your mother and your brother, your family's here. And Jesus, he said, this is what Jesus said. He said, who is my family? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will of my Father. What makes us family, church, is that we hear our Father and follow him. We make Jesus truly the director, the leader of our life. That's what makes us. You know, so many people think that somebody owes them something because they birthed them, or they're somebody's child, or, you know, I married you, therefore you owe me. Hmm. You know, you're part of my organization, therefore you owe me. That's not family. That's the mob, you know. And family, family is you love to be with people. Listen, no, this is John Finn. John Finn and I got to meet some years back. We were in Vine, Texas, and talking about, you know, trying to rediscover, because we were just coming out of organized, you know, corporate world of religion, and just seeking the Lord about, you know, what does that mean to be the church? What does it mean to have a relationship? And I like what he says right here. Listen to John Finn.
You know, I like to say that Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. He went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
Think about that.
Wow.
And it came to America to become an enterprise. Because think about this. I mean, really, come on. I mean, let's be honest for a moment. If you didn't have a mortgage on that building, would you still have the same expectations of those folks? If you got an employee you want to get rid of, you know, you want to treat them well and they'll be happy with it. It's called a severance package.
Oh, yeah.
Right. If you just paid that man off. No, if you just, how much money do you want? If it frees us to be in the Father's business, if the only reason you're here is for money and, you know, for your name and lights, how much can we pay you to get out of this contract so that we can be free to be family?
Yeah.
People want family so bad. You know, for years, you know, we've been, you know, reaching out to folks and taking fatherless, you know, boys into the wilderness and getting mentors for each of them and getting fathers to spend time with their kids and working with families. And what people really crave, they crave what Jesus was doing in the house. They crave family. And you think about what John Finn said, and this is what the Lord was telling. An angel of the Lord showed up, began to speak to him. It may have been even a vision of what, I can't remember what it was. We'll have more about that. But he says, you know, God came to Jerusalem to bring relationship. And there he was. He was in a house. He was eating, they called him a drunkard. They called him a drunkard. He was eating, they called him a glutton. When he was ministering in the streets, they called him rebellious. And when they finally looked him square in his eyes, they called him Satan. I mean, that was what was going on.
Wow.
So God came to bring us relationship. He's showing. He's like, people are running and say, get away from him. Jesus says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. Unless you become like one of them, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. So he's going like, he's showing us family. You know, he says, I am, he's letting us know that I'm going to see my God and your God. I'm going to see my Father and your Father. It's very specifically how he says that. And he says that, and the Word of God lets us know that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever he is, we are through him in his sacrifice. And it's like we're family, the family of God. And if we look at and think, well, Mary, you know, and his brother were the ones who understood what God was saying at that time, it would be wrong. Because the truth is, whoever is following the Father is our family. I don't care what race they are, how much money they have, what nation they're from, you know, what gender they are, you know, we're family. And that's what's going to bring us together. So God came to bring us into relationship with him, into relationship with each other. This is how they'll know that you're my disciple, if you actually love each other as family. You know, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then it says, then the church was taken to Greece, where it made a philosophy. And that's today. I mean, you hear so many people talk about, you know, it really doesn't mean that, but I just love the way the words rhyme. And if it just kind of rolls off your tongue, yeah. But does it roll out of our life in obedience?
Theories.
And then he says it went to Rome to become a religion. Remember for years that the church was, you know, it met just as Jesus was meeting. And suddenly with Constantine and all that, they brought it into buildings.
Yeah.
And they begin to say, listen, we're going to protect you. We're going to give you a nonprofit status. That's not what they said, but understand you're going to be set up like a corporate world. In other words, you'll have boards and buildings and all this kind of stuff. But prior to that, the fullness of God was taking place outside of that. And it became a religion. Then it went to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture. That's where they merged the idea of nation and church, you know, where they put themselves,
Germany, right?
i.e. Germany, or, you know, Great Britain and, you know, all the popes were over, you know, nations, mm-hmm. and the Protestant church, you know, King James and sort of Scotland and all that. And they merged religion with the nation. And if you decided to leave the church, you were committing treason and they would behead you or put you down. And then it came to America to become an enterprise.
Wow.
I mean, it totally just kind of nails us, you know?
It does. I mean, you think about it. Today, you can go to any Christian bookstore. Never in history has there been more books, tapes, DVDs, a series that you could purchase for spiritual development and growth. And yet, as we look at the evidence, is there more depth in our walk with Christ? Is there greater love? Is there greater evangelism that's taking place? Are we making disciples? And if any believer on the face of the earth should be advancing the gospel because of the resources that are available to us, it would be Christians.
Right.
But I just don't see that happening.
So you think about this, that you could be freed from all this enterprise. I mean, think about this. What if, this is what one man said. He says, you know, what if this? There was this man, and he hated going to work. I mean, he just hated going to work. He didn't like the business he was working for. He didn't like anything about what was going on. He just resented it. But the dilemma was, it was his company. He created it. And for him to stand up and say, this is not good. And so he just kept showing back up at something he created. What if God's going to free you from that? I mean, what if everything that's not of him is going to be tried by the fire? And it's going to be like haywood and stubble is going to be burned up. And you knew that, and you could say, you know what, today I am going to ask God to begin to deal with the haywood and stubble in my life, because I have so much energy, so much time, and I want to be able to invest it in things that will last and things that are eternal, like people. And it's so, what happens is when religion comes in and philosophy comes in and enterprise comes in, all these things come in, all of a sudden systems take over from people. All of a sudden you're trying to maintain some facade or some statue or some, you know, mega thing, and the people are secondary to that. Mm-hmm. And God left all that and met in this house. And so he told us, when his mother and his brother came, he says, let me explain to you, this is my family, those who do the will of my Father.
We'll be right back.
If you would drive through this area, you would see the devastation. It's just crazy the amount of devastation. House is totally gone. Apartment complex behind me here, people still don't have electric water. We're bringing them food. Yesterday I brought about 200 meals out here to them yesterday, and we came back tonight to give them dinner. When I saw Operation Blessing, I seen exactly what they were doing, how they were setting up the organization. They were so organized. They came in with the food trailers. They had everything set in place to know that they need to get the management of it out there so they can control a lot of the volunteer work. So it goes a lot smoother by having Operation Blessing involved, and they get involved with different churches. So anything anybody can do to help Operation Blessing, they're amazing people, the people that are running this show, and they do great work, and it's an amazing thing to watch and see. It's actually a blessing to sit back and observe the love and compassion, because that's the biggest thing that you see when you're here. You get all the gratefulness from the people, but you get to see the love and compassion. Now, if you can't make it here, there's other ways you can help and serve also these people that are in such need right now, by going to ob.org and partnering with them so that they can get supplies to bring out here, because believe me, the semi-trucks are rolling in. I saw probably 10 of them today. And they'll utilize that to the best abilities for these people out here, because they are truly, truly in need.
In the sounds of a busy retail store, repeated in 700 stores across the U.S., is the story of its founder, David Green.
A story rooted in the Bible in his life motto from Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might.
In his book, Giving It All Away and Getting It Back Again, he writes, "I believe God has placed us on this earth to work, to devote ourselves to a radical brand of generosity that changes lives."
And in a childhood shaped by a deep, unshakable faith in God, is a legacy that David and Barbara Green are passing along to their children and grandchildren. In an insight from Psalm 78, 5 and 6, David says, "That one generation will tell the next, and they in turn will tell the next." It was always to be an ongoing story.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And I want to encourage you, listen, God is for you. He is for you. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He just wants us to seek him.
That's right.
And he will lead us out, right?
That's right.
Spend time on his word, because his word is a lamp unto our feet.
It's right.
God gives us every step that we need to take when we're listening and trusting in him. And so this brings us actually to the wisdom moment today that we want to share with you. And this was previously recorded, but this is just so powerful and kind of fits exactly what we've been talking about, that victory and shield. God's our victory, our shield, our guard, and our protections. Proverbs 2, 7 through 8. And God holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless. For he, God, guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. I want you to listen up and be encouraged. The Lord has you in mind. Listen up.
We're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. It reads, "He," which is God, "holds victory." Think about it. He, God, holds victory in store for the upright. Think about that. Mm-hmm. "He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Mm. It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. First of all, we have to look at this, that God is in control.
He's holding all this together. I mean, and the first thing you can see in this word of wisdom, this moment of wisdom, is that God is in control. God is in control. Think about it. He is totally in control. And he also lets us know in this first part that he holds victory in the store for you, for the upright, that doing what's right before God is never in vain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in vain. The devil's going to tell you it's in vain. People right. who love the devil mm-hmm. are going to tell you, in his ways, are going to tell you it's in vain. But God's going to tell you it's never in vain. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 15:58 maybe, he says that nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. Not one mm-hmm. single thing.
That's right.
I mean, I think it's Hebrews 6:10 that says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and you continue to help him. He'll mm-hmm. never even forget it. That's you right. have to understand, first of all, God is in control, and doing what's right is not in vain. But think right. about it. Not even a sparrow. He's so in control that not even a sparrow, a bird, falls from the sky without his permission. God is in control. What those who are held captive by the adversary do because of evil intentions in their heart, God will turn around for your good if you love him and are called according to his purpose. You have to understand that God holds victory in the palm of his hand. Think about it. And it's for you. If you live an upright life, you know what I'm saying? You just say, you know, I'm gonna repent, and I'm gonna walk with God like Josiah did, and say, yeah, I'm gonna go over God. Imagine this. Imagine victory being like a baseball. And it's the name of this baseball is victory. And imagine God is holding this baseball in the palm of his hand, and he gives you this ball as you walk in love and obedience to him. Think about it, which means doing what's right in his eyes, mm-hmm, in view of his mercy and his grace. And he says, here's the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, he holds victory in his hand. He will give you, if you're looking for victory, read about David's life over and over again. Read about Israel over and mm-hmm. over again. Look at your headlines today over and over again. God's people are always outnumbered, so God can show himself mighty. Listen, it ain't over till God says it's over. But if you don't understand he's the one that holds victory, you're going to wear yourself out. He gives victory. He holds victory for the upright. Think about it. Just like he can give you a baseball from his hand to your hand, he can give you victory if you understand this. And then he tells us that God is a shield for those who walk blameless. I got to be honest with you. Personally, when I began to walk with the Lord in my early years, I struggled with the word blameless. Mm. I thought if every man has sinned and fallen short, who can be blameless?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I mean, think about it. Who can be blameless? You know, I thought if Paul described in Romans chapter 17, even his good plans did not work out good because his sinful nature would wrestle against him. And he had to turn to the cross of Christ and Jesus to be able to get him out of it. How could he say he was blameless? But then the Lord showed me King David's life and all of his mistakes, but how David did a few very important things continually that kept him blameless before the Lord, mm-hmm. even though he made mistakes.
Right.
What did he do? He loved God. He abided with the Lord. He inquired of God. David sought to walk in obedience to God and lead other people to do the very same things, as he stated when he was confronted himself by a prophet of God saying, you know, you're an adultery and you're a murderer and you did all this kind of stuff. And he said, if you'll restore to me the joy of my salvation, if you'll bring me back to the place I was before I made this mistake, not only will I walk rightly before you, but I'll actually go out and tell other people. Mm-hmm. See, it wasn't a personal encounter. You know, blameless is when you understand it's not about you, and God will restore you, but restore you for you and your relationship with him, and so that you can tell others about him.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking blameless. And though he constantly battled, he turned to God in every victory, and he gave God credit for every victory. David publicly acknowledged God. It wasn't no secret thing. I just think religion's a secret thing. Well, that's what Satan thinks.
Mm. Right.
You know, God just shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the attorney, he's like, do I have to put God on my arm? It's like, yeah, put God on your arm. Basically, David wasn't perfect, but he kept his relationship right with God, his books balanced, I guess you would say. He kept his books balanced before God by being willing to be confronted personally about himself and being willing to be confronted by others and say, you know what, if I need to make it right, I'll make it right.
That's right.
And after he'd done all this, David was declared, as you read in the book of Psalms, as a blameless man,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That blameless, when we go to heaven, we can say, because of Romans, think about Romans 3:21 through 26 talks about this very, very thing. But in Psalms, David was declared blameless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So it means you can make mistakes. You can love God, but you can actually seek forgiveness for your sin, restoration, and quit living life for yourself and live for God and others. Love God, love others,
right.
and lead others
mm-hmm.
to the same. That right. was David. Mm-hmm. And the next part, he says in this proverb, the wisdom moment for today, he says, God guards the course of the just. Think about it. I mean, the very track that you're taking, the very journey that you're on, God's guarding it.
Wow.
He's guarding it. I mean, he's guarding that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have, and it's effective protection if you believe it's protective protection. What mm-hmm. I mean is this, that your faith is your shield.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If you walk around doubtful, you know, God's not protecting your track. He's not protecting your course mm-hmm. because you don't believe that he can. Your faith is a shield that protects you from every fiery dart of the devil. It extinguishes,
right.
acknowledges, right. it destroys it. That is your course. Your faith in what I'm telling you, you're just confident. This is your wisdom. And no matter what's going to happen in this life, that God will protect your course. And this is so important because so many people around that are, you know, doubtful, you know, that this is right. And in their life, understanding that, you know, how can God, you know, protect our course? Well, you think about it because they're thinking like, who's just? You know, I already dealt with the blameless situation. But the question is who's just? You know, who is just? How can I be just? I mean, think of all the mistakes and the things that had happened and that was going on. And but we can say we're just. You know why we can say we're just?
Right.
Because of what God did.
Mm-hmm.
He is a just God, and he's the one that justifies.
Right.
I mean, Romans 13, 21 through 26, he tells us, he says, but now righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified.
Mm-hmm.
This righteousness from God comes through faith. That's that confidence, that shield. Your course is protected because you have confidence in this justification.
Mm-hmm.
This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's the faith. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen mm-hmm. short of the glory of God and are justified
all right.
freely. There's a justification freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement,
mm-hmm.
which means paying for our sins through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. And because he is forbearance, and because in his forbearance, he had left sin committed unpunished beforehand. Up mm-hmm. until that point, prior to Jesus on the cross, it was totally unpunished. It was just covered.
Right.
And he did it for this very reason. He did it to demonstrate that he is just.
Right.
At the present time, the exact moment, so as to be one who is just and the one who justifies us through Jesus Christ. Listen, you can know that God is protecting your course when you are abiding with Jesus Christ, when you're hanging out with God, you know,
right.
and your faith is in his ability to protect you and your trust in the finished work of the cross. And he goes on to say this, he, God, you know, this is the other part of the proverb. He, God, protects the way of the faithful ones. Remain faithful to God.
Yeah.
Abide with the Lord, just as King David did. And just as so many men and women have, abide with God. If you don't know how to abide with him, go to iabide.org and get a simple plan to be able to do that. Request your plan for free today. Don't be a person who just hears what God has to say but doesn't do it. Don't be a person who does and does religious works and good works, but you fail to hear God and to follow God. Be faithful to God. Abide with him. I mean, abiding is very simple. Spend time with God. Read his word, which is the Bible. Mm-hmm. Hide his word in your heart, which means memorization, so that you can walk a life that does not constantly going into sin. Mm-hmm. Talk with God, which is praying. Listening to God, which is relationship. And then doing what he tells you or impresses on you to do. It's very simple. It's what David did. It's what God loved about David. That's why God protected him. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What, think about this awesome God that we hear in this wisdom moment for today is Proverbs 2, 7 through 8. God holds victory in store. God holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Be right back.
Wow, that's so powerful. That's so powerful because we can rest. We can rest comfortably knowing that God's got me. God's got you.
That's right.
He has victory in store for us. He is our shield. He's the one that's guarding us, and he that is the one that protects us.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. If you have a revelation like that, you can sleep at night.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You can sleep at night.
Very well.
You know, I like to say that, you know, I may not know what tomorrow holds. You know what I'm saying? Life has so much uncertainties. Mm-hmm. But because I know the one who holds tomorrow, I sleep really, really, really well. Because you know, I'm his friend.
Yeah.
You know, and you can be his friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, and you've been turned on to VFN Radio and you're listening and you're being encouraged and you're saying, you know, maybe all this worries because I don't have God in my life. I have to been taking care of myself. I had to do everything on my own. And I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, you can. You know, there is a big difference. There's a big difference of knowing of and about Jesus and knowing little stories in the Bible, being familiar with the ways of Christ, mm-hmm. than actually knowing him. And there's many people today that are familiar with God, but they don't know God. And let me tell you something, you got to know him. It's not enough to know about him. You have to know him. He has to be your own personal Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you today, if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can make him the Lord of your life. Listen, worry, stress, anxiety, and fear, and all that type of stuff, that's not of God.
That's right.
It's not of God. And there's nothing like sin in our life, unconfessed sin, unrepented sin, that causes us to go further down the spiral, if you will, and it would become gloom and despair. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to die, and he died to rescue you from that. It's the whole purpose, is to save you from sin, hell, and the grave, mm-hmm. and so that you can have, you know, an abundant life with him, not just, you know, in the age to come, but right now. This is not just about getting a ticket so you can go to heaven.
Right.
This is about living a life with Jesus today. Mm. You can accept him as your Lord and Savior today. We'd love to hear about it. In fact, we put a couple of our stories online for you. We didn't tell everything, but we sure shared some of our life. You know, what was our life before? Mm. What was our life when, you know, our transition that we realized we need Jesus? Mm. And what our life has been after since we've made him Lord. You can find that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.